promise you I will not be long, because I'm about as hungry as probably everybody else is. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. So glad, Brother Michael, thank you for letting us come. We do have CDs out there, homeless CDs. You can provide a good home for them just by going by there. And I used to say picking one up, but people took that literally. Pay for them if you pick them up. It helps us. Our bus is in the shop, so we need some help at the CD table just to pay for that bill on the bus. But no, if you go by there, we sure would appreciate it. Judges chapter number 16. Brother, you may want to turn this down just a little bit. Judges chapter number 16. I tell you, such an honor and a privilege to be here. And most of you, since I have seen some of you, I have graduated to bifocals. This getting old stuff, I have come to realize it is not for sissies. I can read my Bible real good now, but I can't walk a flight of stairs. So if I fall down the steps, if I don't take them off, somebody warned me that I need to take my glasses off just to walk up these few steps. But Judges chapter number 16, read with me verse number 20. I'll pray and then you can be seated. The Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse number 20, "And she said," talking about Delilah, "the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And I believe this second half of the verse is one of the saddest portions of Scripture in all the Bible. And the Bible says, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. God, I thank you for this church, this lighthouse right here on the side of the highway, pointing men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's here, each family member, each kinfolk, each visitor. God, I thank you that they're here, each member, even of the Morning Star Baptist Church. I'm so glad they're here. And God, I pray that you'd help us today. I need a touch of the Holy Ghost. I need the power and unction from on high. And if there's 1, 2, 3, 10 in the building today that may be lost, God, I pray that today you'd show them their need of a Savior. You'd go by where they are, convict their heart. God, show them they need to be saved before it's eternally too late. And God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, because it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. In this portion of Scripture, from the beginning of Judges chapter number, or the end of Judges chapter number 13, to where I read to you Judges chapter number 16 and a few verses after this, this story of the life of Samson. What happened to Samson? How did we get to where we are, where Samson had no clue, he had no idea that the Lord was departed from him? Now, that doesn't mean Samson lost his salvation. That doesn't mean God let him fall out of the graces of God. That doesn't happen to a child of God. We believe once you're saved, if you're saved, you're always saved. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. But this doesn't mean that Samson lost any part of God as far as his salvation. But what it does mean, that Samson had no clue. He had no idea that the Spirit of the Lord, the power of God, and the presence of God was departed from him. It was gone. And I believe the reason why we're not seeing revival right here in 2019 in our Baptist churches, and I'm Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I've been Baptist 9 months before I was ever born. Been in a Baptist church a long time. And I believe the reason why we as Baptists are not seeing a mighty move of God, a mighty presence of God in our services, why we're not seeing revival, is because I believe a lot of Baptist people sit in Baptist churches on Baptist pews and they have no idea that the Lord, the power of God, the very presence of God is departed from them. Oh, we're dressed right this morning. We've got the part played real good. We know when to raise our hand. We even know when to say amen. I mean, we know how to answer the questions. How you doing? Man, if I was any better, I'd already be in heaven. We've got the part played out. The motions and the mechanics, we've got that played out real good. But as a matter of fact, we sit in our pews, we sit in our churches, and we're as cold and as far away from God as we could possibly be. And I believe that's why more people ain't being saved. It's because we, that fella that I almost shaved this morning,
That lady that you put on her eyebrow makeup and her mascara and lipstick and stuff, it's not the Washington's fault. It's not the politician's fault. It's not the fault down in Columbia. They just doing what lost people do. The reason why we're not seeing a mighty move of God, we're not seeing people say, we're not seeing revival in our churches, is because we're in the shape that Samson got in. And it's the blame is us. It's nobody else's fault but ours. And you say, what happened in the life of Samson? Time and time again, the Bible makes this phrase from chapter into chapter number 13 to right here where we are, chapter number 16, verse number 20. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. It makes that statement several times in just a few chapters. One place even says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. And every time those phrases are made, Samson done great things for God. Samson was able to destroy the enemies of God. He was able to please God. He was able to do great and mighty things when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But right here where we are this morning, what happened in the life of Samson? What happened to Samson that caused him to have no idea, no clue? He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What happened? I'm going to just throw out some general terms to start off with. General terms that apply to all of us. Goes all the way back to Samson's day, and it affects us right here in 2019. I'm going to just throw out some general terms that'll pop us all right between the eyes. Number one, what happened in Samson's life, I believe, was sin. The Bible makes this statement about Samson time and time again. And Samson went down. And Samson went down. Down. And every time he went down, Brother Michael, he found himself with a woman. Committing fornication, committing adultery. His mama said, Samson, don't go down there and mess with the enemies of God, those daughters of the Philistines. His daddy said, Samson, don't go down there and mess with those women. God himself even said, Samson, leave those women alone. Amen. But Samson went down. And he caught himself committing fornication. He caught himself committing adultery. It got bad. Sin in his life took Samson a whole lot further than he ever wanted to go. It kept him a whole lot longer than he wanted to stay. And if you read a few more verses into this chapter, the Bible says that they gouged his eyes out. It cost Samson a whole lot more than he ever wanted to pay. Sin will drag you down. Sin will take you far away from God. It'll get you cold and indifferent on God. You could still come to church and play all the parts with the sin in your heart, the sin in your life. But friend, I want you to know, the Bible is clear. Be sure your sin will find you out. And Samson started messing with sin. And it cost him the very presence of God. It cost him the very power of God. It cost him his eyes, it cost him his strength, it cost him everything because of sin. Just the general term, sin. But how about number two? How about simple neglect of the Word of God? Samson being a Nazarite, a Nazarene. The Nazarite vow, Brother Michael, in our Bible, no razor is to come upon the head of a Nazarite. That is the symbol of the source of strength. That is a symbol of the source of God's power in his life. No razor is supposed to come upon the locks of the head. The Bible calls this the vow of vows made between a Nazarite, Samson, and God. He falls for Delilah. And Delilah says, Samson, if you love me, tell me what the source of your strength is. Samson lied to her and said, you know, if you get 7 green vines, tie me up with these green new vines, I'll be as any other man. They got the new vines. They bound Samson. She said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. He broke those vines like they were nothing, destroyed the Philistines. He came back to Delilah. Delilah said, how could you deceive me? How could you lie to me? You told me what the source of your strength was, yet you lied. It wasn't the 7 new vines. He said, okay, how about getting some new ropes? Get the new ropes, tie me up, I'll be as any other man. They got the new ropes. They tied up Samson. She said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. He broke those ropes as he did the vines. He defeated the Philistines. And she said, Samson, you've deceived me again. You lied to me. I thought you loved me. But then the third answer, he got real close. He said, if you just weave the locks of my hair, just weave it, I'll be as any other man. They come in, they permed his hair, so to speak. She cried again, the Philistines be upon thee. He awoke up, defeated the Philistines like nothing. And she said, Samson, you've deceived me three times. What's the source of your strength? Now, this is a vow made to God. Samson made. And Samson told her all of his heart, if you'll just cut the locks of my hair, just shave my head, I'll be as any other man. He laid his head in the lap of Delilah, breaking the vow of God. They come in, they shaved his head, and she cried again, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. He woke up this time, chapter number 16, verse number 20. The power was gone, Brother Michael. The presence of God was gone, Billy Jack. It was nowhere to be found. They made Samson captive. This judge of Israel for 20 years, seemingly the strongest man in that day, he has broken the vow of God. He has neglected what the Word of God said. I promise you, mamas, you try to raise them babies without the Bible. You try to raise them without the Word of God. And I promise you, you are raising a pagan. You are raising an atheist. You are raising a God hater. This Bible is all God wants us to know about Himself, about living, about dying, about being saved, about raising a family. God has told us everything He wants us to know in the Bible that we hold in our lap, and we're not supposed to go against the Word of God. But I promise you, if you neglect the Word of God, there's trouble down the road. There is trouble down the road neglecting the Word of God. But how about this one, just the general terms? Sin, simple neglect of the Word of God. But how about Samson's self-reliance? Listen to what he says. Chapter number 16, verse number 20. Samson said, I'll shake myself. He woke out of his sleep and he said, I'll shake myself. And then listen to the bragging he does. I'll go out as other times before. Almost giving himself a pat on the back. No problem. I've got this. I can do this. I'm trusting this right here. I'm trusting what I can do. I'm trusting my own flesh. I'm trusting my own strength. I'm trusting everything. And the Bible says he had no clue that the Lord was departed from him. He had no clue that the power of God was gone. He had no clue that the presence of God was gone. He woke up as he did the day before and the day before that. And he woke up because he was relying on himself. God says, I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to let you see what you can do. And he failed miserably. We hear the encouragement and the advice all the time. Just follow your heart. That's the worst advice you could ever follow. That's the worst thing you could ever do, because the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says we are corrupt and we are filthy. Our heart is black because of sin. That's the worst advice you could ever do, is depend on your own strength. Follow your own heart. You will fail God every time. Trusting in what you can do. And Samson said, I've got this. I can take care of this. I can handle this. And the Bible says they made him captive. The Philistines gouged his eyeballs out, and they made him captive. But that's just the general terms. That's the terms that was used in our day as well as Samson's day. But I wasn't around in Samson's day. But I want to throw some specific terms at you. Some terms that we'll all know, that probably we're all guilty of right here on May the 12th, 2019. Number one, how about an unthankful attitude? We sit there in our pews as cold as cold could be. And we're ungrateful. We're unthankful. I read this on social media from about Thanksgiving all the way up to Christmas. What if we only had right now, today, what we thank God for yesterday? What if we only had the stuff today, right now, that we thank God for yesterday? Most of us would probably be without a house. Most of us probably wouldn't have had a nice car to drive to church in this morning. Most of us wouldn't have had a meal this morning, breakfast. A lot of us would probably be sitting here unclothed. We take those things for granted. We think we've worked our fingers to the bones. We think it's all because of what we've done. It's all because of the dollar we've made. But friend, I want to tell you, every good and every perfect gift comes from God above. A God above. Everything I have, it's from God. And I want to take time. I want to be careful. If some of you has already done this morning, you've came up and you thank God for being so good to you. You thank God for saving your soul. I want to have that attitude of gratitude. I don't want God to think that I'm unthankful or people to think that I'm ungrateful. I want to thank God every day of my life for the blessings of God on my life. Making myself, I throw this illustration out there, trying to give her a hint, but somehow or another she won't take it. Christmas time rolls around. We have four daughters, Brother Michael, and she has two son-in-laws. We have four daughters, and she has two son-in-laws. You daddies with daughters, you know what I'm talking about, or you'll find out what I'm talking about pretty soon. And y'all heard one of them preach here. I hope y'all let him know I don't like him. I mean, I hope y'all would come across like that. But I promise you, if we ain't on any kind of live stream or anything, I really do like them. They just don't know that I do. And they'll never know unless y'all tell them, so don't tell them. Brother Michael, my wife's idea of Christmas shopping is buying everybody the same amount of presents, spending the same amount, and y'all laughing because y'all right there too, everybody in the building, y'all probably right there too, spending basically the same amount of money on all of them. And we'll have six stacks in our house, and there might be two presents, three, two stacks short, one present. So about December the 15th, December the 12th, December the 11th, December the 1st, whatever the date is, my wife says, I need to go finish my Christmas shopping. And Brother Michael, to buy two presents, she's gone all day. All day. And she comes back in the house, and she's got armloads of bags. You ain't going to believe the money I saved you today. I mean, you just ain't going to believe all the money I saved you. And you husbands, you know where I'm at. And I said, well, honey, did you get the kids' Christmas shopping done? She said, well, yeah, I got the two presents I needed, but I bought four more. And that still leaves two stacks with one less present. So she goes back the next day, and again the next day, and again the next day, and again the next day. I mean, December the 24th, 9 o'clock at night, she's still trying to finish up these stacks. Credit cards are maxed out. Gas is all used up in the car. I mean, we have spent no time together for Christmas. And I come to realize she has gone out and spent money that we didn't have to buy things that they probably don't even need. And at least for two of them, buying stuff for people I don't even like. And honest to goodness, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning rolls around, I want to see what I bought them. And every kid is like this. Every kid is like this. My 5-year-old up to my 21-year-olds, up to her two son-in-laws. Another shirt. another pair of shoes. That's how we all are. Another whatever. Another car? That's how we are. The more we have, the more we want. We're not thankful for the stuff we already have. We want the more, the bigger, the better. And I promise you, that attitude of unthankfulness, it's killing us with God. Amen. We sit here in our pews and we're as cold and indifferent as we could be because our attitude needs to be adjusted. Our thankfulness attitude needs to be adjusted. That's enough meddling on that one. Number two, how about not only an unthankful attitude, but how about unholy actions? This goes right along with the sin that hit on. Now, those three general terms, we're real good at judging each other on them. My sin's not worse than your sin is. I mean, my sin is on a whole lot level lower than what yours is. My simple neglect of the Word of God, we can twist and turn any scripture. We want to make it to fit our circumstance. And then this idea of depending on us. I mean, we're all not as weak, or we're not all as strong as the next guy. We're doing a whole lot better. We're real good at judging ourselves on the general terms. But when it comes down to these specifics, we're hit right between the eyes. Because we can't look at our wives and say she needs to do better. We can't look at our next door neighbor and think they need to do better. These specific terms, we need to do better. Amen. And this idea of unholy actions, I'm surprised at how much sin has invaded the church. The church is supposed to affect the world, but instead the world has infected the church. Stuff that goes on inside these four walls. Nothing is surprising anymore. Used to be we'd get a call saying, you ain't going to believe what so-and-so did. And I'd say, you're lying. There's no way that person did that. But today, 2019, we get that same call. Nothing is surprising anymore. And I promise you, we've all got skeletons. You say, well, my husband don't know. My wife don't know. The preacher don't know. My Sunday school teacher don't know. My kids don't know. Friend, I want you. It doesn't matter if they know or not. There's a God in heaven that's keeping a record. He sees how black your heart is. He knows what's going on in your life. You sit there and you've got everybody fooled in the house of God. You raise your hand when the thank you Lord's being sung. You raise your hand when medals for mothers being sung. But yet you sit there and that sin is eating you like a cancer. That sin is pulling you further and further and further away from God. And you sit there and you wist not that the Lord is departed from us. We wist not. And I believe it's because of sin. I believe it's because of those unholy actions in our own lives that's keeping the presence and the power of God from so invading the Morning Star Baptist Church. And I promise you, you could be the key that unlocks the door to revival, to a move of God, to kin people being saved. You could be the key, but yet they look at you and see how you're living that hypocritical life. And they think, well, if they're doing that, claiming to be Christians, I'm all right. I'm fine. I promise you, you can be a stumbling block and trip somebody right off into hell because of unholy actions, because of sin in your life. Sin, I promise you, it'll take you a lot further. It'll take you away from God. You'll sit there as cold and indifferent, and you're wondering why your kids ain't being saved. You wonder why God's not blessing. It's because of sin. Unholy actions in the life. And God's not going to put up with it. He will chastise you. If you're a child of God, I promise you, you're not going to be without chastisement. God will punish the saved man for their sin. Number three, how about this one? Not only unthankful attitude, unholy actions. But how about this? We wist not that the Spirit of the Lord is departed from us because of an unforgiven spirit. We sit up on the platform sometimes. We stand up there and we play, Brother Michael. And the pastor says, let's all shake hands. And I promise you, you could almost see they're going that way. You go this way. I promise you, that unforgiving spirit, it's hurting you a whole lot worse than it is that person you will not forgive. It's eating you like that cancer. A Baptist person will burn 80,000 calories on a Walmart trip trying to avoid the preacher or avoid somebody else. You know how it is. You step in that, oop. Y'all are laughing because that's how we are. That's exactly how we are. We're convicted. And we know that person we saw up the aisle is going to ask us, why wasn't you in church on Sunday? That plow just hit a root right there. But I promise you, it's that unforgiving spirit. It'll have you out of church. Long before it'll have that person that you won't forgive out. You'll get to where you don't even want to be in the same room with them. And the Bible's got the answer for it. The disciples said, Lord, how many times should we forgive them? And they threw out the number 7. I mean, just a good number. One for every day. The Lord said, that's a good start. How about 7 times 70? Just go ahead and forgive them 490 times. Whether they ask for it or not, you just go ahead and forgive them. And the Lord said, you just keep on forgiving them after that. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. You know what they've done to me. You don't know what they've said. You don't know how I've been treated. Friend, I promise you, there's not one person sitting in this building this morning that's ever been treated any worse than our Lord was treated. You've never been spoke to any worse than He was spoke to. You've never been hung on a cross, and yet He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I promise you, child of God, that unforgiving spirit, it's going to eat you till you're nothing more than just a bitter child of God, out of the will of God, out of church. And you think that won't affect your kids? They see it. They hear it. And the generation after us, Brother Billy Jack, is walking away from God because of us. Because of our bitterness. Because of that cancer that's eating us up. I promise you, a bitter spirit will rob you of the presence and the power of God. And you'll sit there maybe having everybody fooled. But I promise you, you're not hearing from heaven. You're not getting a blessing out of the services. And the result will be your kids walking away from God. But number 4, and I'm done. Not only unthankful attitude. Not only unholy actions. Not only an unforgiving spirit. But how about this one? An unheeding will and an unheeding heart. The word to the lost man. The word to the lost man, the lost woman, the lost boy, the lost girl. The word to you, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the word to you throughout our Bible, throughout the age of the church, the word to the lost man has always been come. God Himself says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be what made white as snow. You can be washed in the red royal ruby blood of the cross of Calvary, that righteous blood that the Lord shed. You can come to Him, but I promise you, an unheeding will and an unheeding heart in the life of the lost person will send you straight to hell. Every obstacle has been thrown in your way to keep you out of hell. The Lord died on the cross for you. Prayers have been offered up from God's people for the lost man. An invitation has been given. Tracts has been passed out. Doors has been knocked on, trying to get you to receive the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not as a head knowledge, but as a heart knowledge. Obstacle after obstacle after obstacle has been thrown in your way to keep you out of hell. But yet you sit there with that unheeding will and unheeding heart, and you'll walk out those doors, maybe hearing the gospel message for the last time. And I'm begging you, if I could kneel down at this altar and be saved for you, be saved for the whole world, I promise you I'd do it. If it was that simple, I'd do it. But salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, how easy is it? God said, come. The Philippian jailer cried out, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They put it as easy as the rubber meeting the road. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. But yet an unheeding will and an unheeding heart in the life of a lost man, you'll probably wind up in hell unless you trust Christ as Savior. But let's go to the life of a child of God. An unheeding will and an unheeding heart will have you sitting there this morning, next Sunday, the Sunday after, Wednesday night, whenever, and you'll wist not that the Lord's departed from you. I promise you, one trip to an altar with a heeding will and a heeding heart will correct any unholy action that's in your life. It'll correct any unthankful attitude that's in our lives. It'll correct any unforgiving spirit that's in our life, heeding to what God says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want the power back? You want the presence back? Have a heeding will and a heeding heart to what God says. You say, well, it sounds pretty. Y'all come on, get a song ready. You say, well, what happened to Samson? Verse number 22 of this same chapter, chapter number 16. But his hair began to grow. His hair began to grow. I don't know the conversations Samson had with the Lord. While he's down there turning that meal for those Philistines, while he's there with his eyes already gouged out, while he's down there working for the Philistines, I mean just being a slave to sin, a slave to the Philistines. I don't know what his conversation was, but I have an idea. It was something like this. God, I let you down. God, I sinned against you. I sinned against heaven. God, I failed my duty as a child of God. God, I am so sorry. God, if you'll just give me one more chance. And the Bible says in verse number 22, his hair began to grow. The source of his strength, the source of his power. The symbol of the source. His hair began to grow. He heard the voice of a little lad. He said, son, would you carry me to the main pillars of the house? Would you carry me there? And I'm sure all the way to the pillars, Samson said, God, give me another chance. God, please. Give me another chance. Maybe his hand slipped out of the bondage he was in and he reached up there and he felt. And all of a sudden he said, God, you're working on my heart. God, I believe you're going to do something in my life. And I'm glad we serve a God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, in some cases, tenth chance. Maybe today is the day your hair begins to grow. Maybe today you'll realize I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm the reason maybe that my family's not being saved. Or I'm the reason why maybe I'm cold. I'm indifferent. Maybe I'm the reason God's not doing anything in our church. Today might be the day your hair starts to grow. And God says, I'm going to give you another chance. The Bible says, Samson, attached to those pillars, the main part of the house, and the Bible says, he said, God, avenge me of mine eyes. And what he's saying is, God, please, let me do great things for you one more time. Just one more time. And the Bible says he pulled the walls of the house down and he did the greatest deed for God he's ever done in his death than he ever did in his life. But I promise you, church, we sit there in our pews and we wist not. For the sake of these little ones right here, for the sake of those, for the sake of my 5-year-old, I need a touch of God. I don't need to try to do anything in my own strength, my own power. I don't need to be living in that life of sin. I need God all over me. Billy Jack, I need him for my family's sake. I need him for my home's sake. I need him for my church's sake. Brother Michael, I don't ever want to be a statistic and sit there and wist not that the Lord's departed from me. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. But I can't do that cold. I can't do that in indifference. I want God's presence all over my life. I promise you, lost friend, today you're in a good place. Somebody will take the Bible. We won't laugh at you. We'll shout the house down. And some of them, even our own family, you know who you are. You need to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. But yet, how about those family members and those church members alike that are saved? Is today the day your hair starts to grow? Is today the day your heart and will line up with God's heart and will? And you make a difference in the life of not only your family, but maybe your church, your home. Today could be the day your hair starts to grow. We're going to stand all over the building. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Michael's going to come. He's going to take this invitation. Maybe you need to come right off the bat. If you're lost, I promise you, somebody will take the Word of God, show you how that you can know that you know that you know heaven will be your home. Church members, I challenge you. I know it's 12:31 on Mother's Day, Sunday afternoon, but today is the day. You can make Mama real happy today if you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just rededicate, recommit the things of God in your life, don't sit there and wist not that the Lord's departed from you. Don't sit there and wist not that God's presence and God's power is departed from you. Today could be a whole new start in the life of the sinner, in the life of a child of God. They're going to sing this song. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to be in this place today. And God, I pray that you'd have your way in the hearts and lives of your people. God, I pray that you'd draw that sinner, that lost man, that lost woman, that lost boy, that lost girl. My heart is touched today. Because I know there's people sitting in this auditorium that don't know you as Savior. And God, I'm begging you. God, I'm begging them. Come to Christ today. Touch hearts and change lives as only you can do. God, let our hair begin to grow as children of God. So we can do great things for you. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. While they sing, you come. Brother Michael's coming. He's going to take this invitation. While they sing this first verse, you come right now if you need to. While they sing, you come.